Welcome to the Online Writing Insider, a podcast designed to give you an edge in the world of written online content. The Online Writing Insider is hosted by HubPages.com, an online writing community where everyday experts publish, share, and earn from their online articles. Hello, everyone. I'm Simone Smith from HubPages.com, and I'm sitting right next to the CEO of HubPages, Paul Edmondson. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Simone.
How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having us on today.
If you're not very experienced with online writing, you may not know that it's extremely important to write articles that are search engine friendly, which basically means that if someone were to search for the subject that you're writing about, your article would pop up in Google results or Bing results. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great way of thinking about it. One of the things I think about, if you're going to take the time to write articles and publish online, and you're being part of the great democratization of sharing information and wanting your voice out there, I think one of the things that people don't always realize is just how powerful their individual voice is.
This is true. You were actually mentioning this pretty recently when talking to our community about characteristics of online writing that drives traffic.
Yeah.
That having that voice is one of the biggest factors.
Yeah. So a voice, and when I think of a voice, I think is somebody has something to say, and you want to have the full social influence that your voice can possibly have.
So give me an example of a hub, an article or a hub on HubPages that someone's writing, and how their voice makes a difference.
So here's a way. Let's just say, and I'll just use one of my own examples. I just wrote a hub on how to unclog a shower drain.
Oh yeah.
And you're thinking, okay, now what? What is this in the social, influence? How is this going to change what they do? Or even a better example is I recently wrote about the kind of president I'm looking for in 2012.
Interesting.
And so one of the things when I was thinking about. Which is always a little dangerous of mixing politics and religion and things like that.
Oh,
but,
yikes.
But I do want my article to be discovered. I've got Twitter followers. I have friends on Facebook.
That's good. That helps, right? I mean, if you're an online writer, it helps to have these other presences, especially in social media.
It totally does. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest drivers of traffic is search. And so...
Right.
So one of the things that I was thinking about when I was crafting this article is what are the things that people are going to be looking for? And I designed my 2012 President's Hub about how to create jobs in 2012.
Ah.
And so what I was trying to say is...
That's something everyone's really wondering about, right?
Yeah. So give me a plan on how to create jobs. And when you title something very simply, like how to create jobs in 2012...
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. People will go into Google or go into other major search engines and they'll look like that. And now you have this incredible opportunity to have influence.
Ah.
And whether it's getting your own opinion out there or teaching somebody how to do something or whatever your expertise is. But you can use social influence in so many ways that are going to go well beyond Twitter, Facebook, or your regular readers. Now all of a sudden... Everybody who potentially searches on Google for how to create jobs in 2012 are going to see one of my results possibly because I've done a good job of saying, hey, here are the three different plans that people have proposed. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. This is why I think it's important. You can have a political bent. You can have a useful bent. There's any number of ways.
But you've mentioned some very key things here. One of them, obviously, is that you're very clear with what you're writing about. Another is that you considered what your audience would be searching for if they wanted to learn about this topic and use that as a title. But the final thing is that you alluded to using the word I a lot and expressing your own personal opinions. You'd mentioned that there's a sort of difference between using the word you a lot and using the word I. Could you talk about that?
Yeah. So... And this needs to come in the context of the kind of writing that people do. So
on HubPages a lot.
Yeah,
too.
On HubPages. And what I like to do is just look for trends of what makes a successful online writer
right.
versus somebody that's struggling. And a few of the things that I've recently come to, and part of this comes from some of the recent Google changes, mm-hmm. and I got the idea around that they've asked people to rate things like, would you give this site your credit card?
Yes, and just for those who may not be very familiar with Google, they changed their algorithm, or sort of the tools that their search engine uses to find articles, a lot, so that they can improve the search results that show up. So they tweak that a lot, and it will influence what will be successful online, mm-hmm. what will be found, right? So
yeah, and oftentimes people will learn one style of writing that is effective, and when Google changes, then they're going to have to adapt their style.
Right, and now so Google's using actual people to evaluate online articles.
Yeah, or not just articles, but sites.
Sites and articles. Yeah. Yeah. So they're seeing the word you, and what's
I don't know. I don't know if it's Google, but what I did is I took a bunch of different hubs, uh-huh. and which are online articles, and I had people. I read them out loud to people.
You did, yeah. You did that in the office.
and I asked them for feedback, and I said, rate these on 1 to 10. And I also looked at other attributes. Uh-huh. And there's kind of two things that I think really jump out. And one is, it's really different to read something to yourself. Because if you've written something and you read it...
It's in your own voice, and you're reading it silently.
Yeah, exactly. It's really different than reading it out loud to somebody.
Yeah.
And I found that to be a fairly good predictor of online success.
Interesting.
From people I've seen.
Yeah.
Now, the other one was the use of writing in the first person, uh-huh. versus you. And I think this is fascinating. And part of it just goes to being interesting, having something useful to say, and putting personal anecdotes behind it. And I lends itself to that, which...
It absolutely does.
Creates a little bit more engaging first paragraph. If you're going to write an article on... let's see.
Children's pajamas.
I love children's pajamas. I have three little daughters. So children's pajamas, and it can say, I have three little daughters, and I love seeing those little footsie pajamas.
They're so cute.
Yeah, they are so cute. And I love the Chinese style pajamas, so they can put them on and have fights.
Yeah.
I'm flashing back to when I was a little kid with my brother.
Me too, actually.
So,
and that's interesting, is because if I were to say, how do you like pajamas? Would you like to see people in, cute footsie pajamas? It seems actually, when I say that out loud, it sounds like an advertisement.
It does.
Now that you mention it. And when you were using the word I and talking about your experiences, I was getting really excited. Whereas when I was thinking of it with the word you, it seemed like an advertisement.
And I think that's in a very simplistic way. A lot of times when you use you and uh-huh. you're describing products, then you're thinking about, okay, I'm getting sold something.
Yeah, and suddenly you get that weird feeling and you want to go away.
Puts you off.
Yeah. Versus, we're tired of being advertised too.
Yeah, versus getting engaged in a story,
mm-hmm.
and something that really draws a reader in and gives them that personal experience, lets them know a little bit about you.
Yeah.
One of the things I love to read about bloggers, there's a blogger who writes in the venture capital and starting an entrepreneur named Fred Wilson.
Oh.
And Fred does this really good job of, he writes a lot of things about teaching people. He calls it MBA Mondays, and he writes about...
That sounds like fun.
The balance sheet, right?
Wow.
Balance sheet is pretty dry. No one's going to care. But it's very useful information.
Yeah.
But he also has a lot of personal anecdotes. Tells stories about his wife, the Gotham gal, who's also a blogger.
Uh-huh.
And while I don't know Fred personally...
It sounds like you do.
Yeah.
Because I guess he has a really good tone and...
Yeah. And have... connected through his writing and some of the other bloggers. And they're pretty savvy about, one, writing things that draw you in and you become part of their life.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting their full sphere of influence by being active in Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And they're using smart titles around things like the balance sheet, ways that are going to get people connect with readers that don't read them every day, but when they really need useful information about those topics, or when they become very active in what's the political atmosphere that's going to happen in 2012, which mm-hmm. is going to be a whole nother podcast for us.
Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating what it means for online and getting your voice out there. And politicians, people that are running for office, they got to start thinking about this stuff.
This is true. I think that they have maybe professional teams of people.
And they're late.
Yeah, I mean, they're late. The whole online reputation industry, really, is fascinating. That is a whole other podcast. There's one final point that you were discussing with our community earlier that I'd love to just touch on in this podcast, and that's keywords. You had mentioned earlier in this podcast that a lot of people learn how to write for Google a certain way that works for them, and then when Google changes, it doesn't work so well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big case with keywords. A lot of people know that people search for certain keywords in search engines and like to just stuff those into their articles.
Yeah.
And that maybe used to work, and maybe it seems to be changing a little.
You know, I think it's a really a great point that there's that style and using keywords. Keywords are like a double-edged sword.
They are.
On one way, if you don't include any keywords or a simple title that has a keyword in it on your article, then it's not going to get discovered.
Yeah.
But then there's this balance.
Yeah.
And that balance is about not overdoing it, making it sound natural. And I say the word making it sound natural. Don't make it sound natural.
Just be natural.
Just be natural. And that's the best way to go. And sometimes you get in this habit of saying, you know, jobs in 2012. That's in the back of your head. And all of a sudden, every single sentence says jobs in 2012.
And your writing sounds super awkward.
Particularly when you read it out loud.
That's the thing. So the key then is to understand that keywords are helpful, to make sure that you have them maybe only once in a title, not more than once, and then maybe once or twice in an article, but only as you would naturally see it there, and then to read things out loud in the end before you hit publish, just to make sure that it doesn't sound awkward.
I would actually say that if I were going to give tips for someone to get the full value out of their content today, I would say come up with, when you write something, write on one very discrete thing and use one straightforward title. So for example, how to create jobs in 2012.
A very, very discrete thing indeed,
Then make sure your content lines up just to that title. So
just write about jobs in 2012.
And then write it very naturally.
Yes.
And then I would say, then you want to tweet that link. You want to share it on your Facebook. You want to make sure that you're creating the kind of content you want to share with the people you know and the communities that
you
exist in.
Something you'd be proud of, and not like some weird ghostwriter Twitter handle and strange.
It really goes to...
It has to be your actual real identity, like Paul Edmondson.
Yeah, I mean, I think people have used handles online. That's kind of a
if it's your universal handle, if it's what everyone knows you by, but you know, something that you wouldn't be ashamed of, like your friends seeing.
Yeah, no, you're developing your online reputation, and your online reputation spans. I mean, I don't think people even realize that almost so many things you're doing today is creating that reputation.
It's becoming a huge deal.
Yeah.
It's becoming a really huge deal. And more sites I'm seeing are starting to track different scores of what they consider to be your online reputation rank or clout. Yeah. It's very interesting.
Think about every time you like something on Facebook, every time you plus one something, every time you tweet it.
That's all social capital.
It is. And you're at the same time you're spending it when you do those things, you're building it. And you're building it with those systems to say, okay, do other people that people like also tweet this? Do they also share it? And those are saying, oh, then Simone is more trustworthy now. And I can put as a machine that is designed to disseminate that information across these social spaces and including search engines, that when Simone plus ones her thing and after she's built that bank account full of goodwill and trust, that's gonna have a big influence. And it's one of the things today that's, I used to say that links were the equity of the internet.
And they used to be.
Times
are changing.
We're moving away from the gold standard of links to this social capital concept.
The platinum standard. Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing the advice, Paul. I guess to sort of go over it, it's read your work aloud, be natural, think about what people would be searching for, but be clear and succinct and very genuine. Use personal anecdotes and don't sound like a salesman. And I think ultimately be a genuine human being that participates in the social sphere, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I'd also say when you're reading other bloggers, find those people, find those Fred Wilsons and look at them and see, wow, what are they doing that is
learn
really
from the best.
That's developing their own, people call it earned media, but they're developing their reputations or built significant reputations by using these best practices.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Paul.
All right. Thanks, Simone.